Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural, daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information, order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuturefarm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, and from now until September 15th, buy one bottle of Black for Health. You get one bottle of elderberry with zinc and echinacea half off at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast, part two of our weekly Q&A with Layla. We're answering your questions related to intelligent medicine. Intelligent medicine means the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. We put those all together for you in our weekly session and during my regular radio program on weekends. So, Layla, what's our next question?
We've got an email from Deborah. Hi, Dr. Hoffman, a longtime fan of yours going back to the WOR days.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Incidentally, just let me chime in. This month, I believe, we are celebrating about to enter into our 33rd year of broadcasting.
Oh, my God.
It's a milestone because, just a little calculation, we started in 1988 on WOR. Actually, I started on WMCA, which is a companion station. Mm-hmm. Some old-time New Yorkers will remember that station as a conversation station that had Gary Null and Joan Hamburg and Chris Russo. And, you know, some of the, you know, these are people just sort of cutting their teeth in broadcasting. And that's where, you know, it was sort of like a nursery where, you know, which birthed a lot of radio celebrities. And that was the crucible in which I was formed. And then I went to WOR a little later. But we've been continuously broadcasting, with the exception of a couple of weeks. For a while, it was a couple of weeks I was off because it was a question of I was substituting. There was a time where Dr. Robert Atkins was on WOR. And then at some time, Dr. Robert Atkins wasn't on WOR. And then the decision had to be made, well, who's going to be the successor to Dr. Robert Atkins? Hmm. And it took a couple of weeks. So I was like chomping at the bit, like, you know, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And, you know, and finally I got the call. And they put me in. And, you know, then I was back on the air. So with, I think, barely a hiatus, it's been, you know, now we're working on our 33rd year.
My goodness.
Started in September of 1988.
Wow. Wow. Congratulations, Dr. Hoffman. That's really something.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay. So Deborah says, I'm a very healthy, active 63-year-old female. I take no meds, only supplements. My only complaint is my eyes. Now, 15 years ago, I had LASIK, and my near vision became much worse, which I was told by my doctor that may happen.
Yeah.
So I'm now wearing progressive eyeglasses for both near and distance visions. I can't do anything without them. But 3 years ago, when she was 60, I noticed I had quite a few floaters and even had flashes at one point. Mm-hmm. And my eye doctor told me to call him immediately
right,
if I experienced
because it might
again.
Signal it might signal a retinal detachment.
Exactly, which is a medical emergency.
Right.
Yeah.
They have to weld it in place with a laser right. when it happens. Right. Otherwise, it can keep tearing. It's like it's almost as if like you know, a shingle on your roof comes loose in a wind, and you know, it can pull like a whole section of the roof off,
yeah.
You know, unless you, you know, secure it.
It could pull off a row or of them or a patch of them. Right.
Right.
Deborah says, the floaters are still there. I become used to them. I find my eyes are blurry in the morning if I don't get enough sleep, but they do come into focus after about an hour. I do kid my eye doctor and tell him I want a cornea lens transplant sooner than later. I also have teary eyes occasionally.
Like cornea lens transplant, that's a very big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and it, I mean, I keep coming back to that LASIK thing. And, you know, while LASIK has been done on millions of people and is safe, I mean, one of the consequences of LASIK can be corneal irritation.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, so it's a little bit of a complicated eye problem in that sense. It's not like your routine, you know, eye aging situation or dry eye or, you know, eye strain overuse.
Definitely, definitely for Deborah, fish oil. I think anybody who's had LASIK, they will be more prone to dry eyes. Mm-hmm. It's a good idea.
But in one recent study in the New England mm-hmm. Journal of Medicine, fish oil at pretty significant amounts did
DHA.
Not.
DHA. DHA especially.
So DHA mm-hmm. especially, but I would also team it with GLA. I think that, that's why borage. Some of the studies are coming up short. Because there's something about borage oil that seems to be a lubricant for the surface of the eye. Can be helpful. Mm. So that I would do. Okay. As to the floaters, you know, I wish I could tell you that there's less specific nutrient that's helpful for floaters, maybe bioflavonoids, you know, things like pycnogenol or things like that. Grapeseed extract may, I don't know, be helpful for that.
I think after a certain age, when floaters come, they pretty much stay. And I think the brain starts to compensate for that.
You know what floaters are? If the floaters are, there's a sort of a jelly-like substance that's in the eye. It's called the vitreous. And, you know, just like other body parts, it tends to desiccate a little bit. And then you get a little thickening of strands of, almost like strands of mucus that float around. And you see those. They come across your visual field. They're usually innocent. Again, you know, when you have like flashes of light or, you know, areas
or,
of loss of vision.
Suddenly a lot of floaters happens at once where it wasn't there before. That's a possible medical emergency.
Right.
You see your ophthalmologist immediately.
Now, the other thing that's going on, you could, I mean, optical migraines sometimes cause like, you know, starburst pattern, you know, without pain. You know, you see some like confetti or starburst in your eyes, and it's called an optical migraine. And it's a painless migraine, but it is it's a form. You know, this is a question that I'm going to hold over, and I'm opposed to Dr. Rudrani Banik, who will probably get back on the program sometime soon. She's our ophthalmologist in residence, and she's integrative in her approach, so she does believe in nutritional support. You know, the traditional nutrients like lutein and zeaxanthin, they may apply to macular degeneration, but, you know, from this history, I don't recall that there is any element of macular degeneration there.
Yeah. Although macular degeneration, would that happen in an aging person?
Sure.
Or that's
especially
a different,
especially female. But then there's also these things like eye bright. I mean, they have names like that that somehow connote that they're going to be helpful for, you know, sharpening the vision, or bilberry.
Eat your carrots.
Yeah. I mean, eat your carrots, you know, the bug, that's the Bugs Bunny school of nutrition. You know, it's like eat your carrots and it'll be better. I mean, yes, we need, you know, beta carotene to some extent for the night vision, you know, black and white vision. But, you know, there's a limit to the benefits of that. You know, also just there's techniques of eye utilization, you know, resting, you know, while you're looking at screens, you know, going outside and doing some, you know, looking at the horizon, not spending the entire, because we spend a lot of, awful lot of time on our devices, and I think that's causing eye strain.
It is.
And it's also, I mean, there's also a desiccating factor when you're too close to a screen because of the electrostatic effects of that screen. And these screens are very bright sometimes, too. And then we watch a lot of, you know, TV on, you know, what's, how many, you know, the HD is at what level? Like 1,080?
1,080.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pixels or something. Yeah.
I mean, it's a real blast for the eyeballs.
That's a lot. That's a lot of wear and tear on the eyes. I wonder if that's also not another reason that more people are being diagnosed with cataracts. What's going on?
Is it related to the devices? I mean, cataracts certainly can change vision, and you know, I presume that she's getting eye checkups, and cataract is not
She doesn't mention cataracts here at all, but she's in touch with her doctor, so that's a good thing. So, borage oil, DHA, I think at least a good multivitamin mineral supplement is helpful.
We'll do another.
And take care of your eyes. We need to take breaks every 20 minutes. Now, I know none of us are doing that, right?
Mm-hmm. And especially now.
We need to take breaks every 20 minutes and stop looking at the screen or the phone.
We're all online. Yeah. I mean, what's it going to do to our kids' eyes? You know, our kids normally don't have as much screen time as they've had this year. You know, maybe we'll have a legacy of a lot of eye problems later for children who grow up.
And not just that. I see toddlers, babies in their strollers with their parents' phone.
I hate that.
To keep his, my goodness.
It's like, here's the phone or here's the iPad. Just shut up and play your games.
Exactly.
You know, we adults are like, you know, having dinner here.
Right,
and the kid is like mesmerized.
Shut up, take a bottle, eat something. It's just as bad.
The kid is just mesmerized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does it do to the brain of like a 3-year-old? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we really try. In our family, we have kids. And even though the school thing is subverting it, we really try to minimize screen time. You know, it's rationed. Although the kids love it. They just crack. They get wild around devices.
Right. Right. Well, even for adults, Dr. Hoffman, you know, their smartphones are the new cigarette.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, we're all jumping to look at it. What did I miss? Oh, it made a sound. Did I get a text? Whatever, you know.
It's so reinforcing. You know,
not only are there rest areas, have you seen on the LIE a text area? Have you seen that?
No, I didn't even see that.
Yeah. There's a text area to pull off. And text. Look for it next time you drive out.
It's better than rear-ending the car in front of you, I guess.
Right? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's nasty.
Actually, that happened to somebody I know. He was in his car texting, driving, and he ran into a bus. He totaled his car. He was lucky to come out of that alive.
Yeah.
This is a shop owner I know here in my neighborhood.
Oh, no.
So, oh, my goodness. So,
what a menace.
So Deborah, that is the advice. Besides, don't text and drive, obviously. Right. But yeah, stay away from those devices or limit your exposure. Mm-hmm. That's good advice for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Use the blue block. Use the blue block on your device. You know, you can wear blue glasses, or you can actually set it to a nighttime setting. I do that. You know, because I read a lot in bed, and you know, at a certain time, the blue block comes in, so that I'm not influenced that much by it.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I still love a paper book. I won't use a Kindle. Mm-hmm. Even though the Kindles are really great, I've seen really good ones. It looks like the page of a paperback. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I like the feel of a book in my hands. Yeah. I even like the scent of the paper.
Wow.
And, you know, just the feeling, that tactile in my hands book.
I amazed myself. I made that transition very seamlessly. Because first of all, I don't have any more space for books. So all my books are now e-books.
You have to read them and give them away.
Right? I'm reading the most wonderful science fiction now. It's called The Three-Body Solution. And it's a trilogy. It's a Hugo Award-winning trilogy. It's written by a Chinese guy. But it is absolutely fascinating. It's about first contact with an alien civilization. And they write so plausibly about what that might be like. It's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Propax Gold with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, age, illness, or just being run down. Anti-Factor repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown Anti-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking Anti-Factor for years. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine continuing free resource to you, and I know you like that. And now back to our questions. Okay, Layla, what's next?
Let's see here. Going back to questions, we have one from Frank. My recent blood test showed that I'm slightly anemic and that my hemoglobin is low. I'm a 72-year-old marathon runner who eats like a bird. Mm-hmm. Just no red meat, but mm-hmm. lots of salmon. Mm-hmm. What supplement should I take?
How about some red meat?
Here's the problem. How about some red meat, exactly?
Yeah. wait, how old is this guy?
72, and he's a marathon runner who eats like a bird.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I mean, I'm very happy that I've extended my running horizon. I had a little bit of a setback, and then I had a little arthroscopic surgery on my knee. And I'm running again. So this morning I ran, I was happy to run like 4 miles. And
terrific.
That was, you know, I'll tell you, you know, this took like, you know, 35 minutes. Nice run. Weather was permitting. And I'm just happy to, you know, do 2-3 miles. Maybe on special days I'll do 4 miles. That's my running career right now. It's really hard to run really long distance past a certain age, and you kind of have to figure out when that becomes kind of destructive for you. I personally resigned myself to just, you know, a little pleasure running, and I'm going to cut back at the first instigation of some kind of pain or disability associated with that, because it's not worth it. It's very impressive that a 70 something is doing marathons. It's really, really an outlier.
Yeah.
But what does happen in a lot of runners is they develop runner's anemia.
Yes.
And it's especially really long distance runners. And that is due to iron deficiency. Yeah, it's due to iron deficiency.
Okay. So, well, he's not eating any red meat. He's not really getting any iron. You know, he needs heme iron. The amount of iron in lentils and peas and spinach, even if you put lemon on it, it's still not going to help him.
What it is due to is hemolysis, which is the breakdown of red blood cells from the concussion, because it happens in your feet and throughout your body. Mm-hmm. And you get sometimes a little bit of hemoglobinuria. Sometimes, this happened to me once, I was quite alarmed, I went to pee after running. And it was like brownish red, and I had
scary.
Yeah, and it was, you know, and I thought, oh my goodness. But then I read up on it, and it, apparently from the concussion of running, and I was running much longer distances. I had possibly burst a little blood vessel in my bladder, so it's called runner's hematuria, and you can also get not apparent hematuria, but microscopic hematuria. So it's you know, this gradual loss of iron. So this is a real deal.
Isn't it also the pounding of your feet and
the
hemolysis of red blood cells that way?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I don't know. This guy is he's a marathon runner. He's so virtuous. You know, he probably, you know, he does all the virtuous things. You know, he doesn't eat red meat. You know, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, he runs, you know, all these good things.
Eats lots of salmon.
Right. But he'll need iron. And so he needs an evaluation for iron. And by the way, it's not uncommon for 70-somethings to have slightly declining hemoglobin. That can happen with or without running anyway.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Frank, there you have it.
But you know, a simple fix might be you get your ferritin checked, get your iron and total iron binding capacity checked. Very easy test to have your doctor do. And find out if you are low iron, which is quite possible scenario.
It's possible, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Frank. Best of luck to you. Oh, here's a good one from David. Dr. Hoffman, a public health emergency has been declared. Finally, remdesivir has been authorized for hospitalized patients. It's a new drug. Hydroxychloroquine has reluctantly been given permission to use on a trial basis. Mm-hmm. This drug has been used for use in decades.
By the way, I just read an article diseases. That said that you know, in spite of all this controversy about hydroxychloroquine, I think the prescribing rate for it has gone up like 3,000%. So it's not good. Because there are more people with lupus, you know.
Yeah.
It's being used a lot.
And right.
I think in certain settings it can be helpful. I mean, I really don't think that it's useless. I just think it's, you know, if you give it to somebody as extreme unction, you know, as like a last resort and they're, you know, circling the drain, that it's not likely to help.
Right. Shouldn't wait that long.
Right. But anyway, go ahead.
So David says, let's see, ivermectin in conjunction with zinc has not been authorized for use despite
ivermectin is a drug used for river blindness in Africa. You know, which is a common parasitic disease. And it's been proposed as a treatment for COVID-19. But again, it's not an antiviral. It may have a nonspecific anti-inflammatory effect.
Especially in the early stages.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not at the top of my list. But it's gaining a little bit of attention. So the question about that is...
Yeah. He says, I'm following ivermectin progress daily and instructing my doctor at Mayo Clinic to go with this treatment. Why is it so hard for this country to proceed post-haste unless it's motivated by politics? Thank you for your great program.
Yeah. I mean, look, there is evidence this drug inhibits the replication of SARS-CoV-2 in vitro in a test tube.
Yeah.
And is it worth a shot? It's an antiparasitic. It's being prescribed off-label to treat COVID-19 in some parts of the world. I think it's something to keep our eyes on. I think it's going to end up being a minor player, you know, in the armamentarium of things for COVID-19. I don't think it's going to be one of those slam dunk things. What's gaining some traction? Just ordinary, prednisone, you know, corticosteroids. Or reduce the death rate by about a third, you know, in very sick patients.
Wow.
They're very cheap. They're old-fashioned medications. And, you know, the last thing you want to do to with somebody who has an infection is give them steroids. They used to be very counterintuitive. Now, they think that people who have very severe coronavirus infections have a lot of inflammation, and you can curtail the inflammation with steroids. You know, they tried steroids out in ARDS, you know, respiratory distress syndrome. And the studies did not turn out too positive. But steroids with vitamin C, high-dose intravenous vitamin C, in some studies has been helpful for ARDS. So, you know, I would – I don't know about ivermectin, but it's one of those – I think people who are sort of a little bit counterculture tend to seize on these rather obscure – possibilities and hang their hats on them, and I think it's got a role and it should be researched, but I think at the end of the day, it probably won't become a mainstream therapy.
He mentions ivermectin in conjunction with doxycycline and zinc.
Okay.
Maybe. So that's interesting. All right.
Yeah, that's all that we have. All the time that we have. I think we're sort of at the end of our allotted time. But please send us questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. And we'll continue in our now in our 33rd year to provide you with, all the information that's going to make a difference for you and your loved ones in terms of their health. That's our commitment.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hopefully
thank
in
you,
an
Dr.
entertaining format. In an right. Because... a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, as they say. All right. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thank you, Layla.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.